Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins, or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy, our first show of the new year, 2020. I'm joined today by Howie.
Hello.
And Bobby.
Hello.
I'm Craig. 2020.
Yay.
We have an extra day this year to bemoan the fact that we don't like anything.
It's 2020. It's a fascinating year because not only was the year 2020 years ago, but so was the year 1980.
Yes, I have seen that. And it just doesn't it feel that way,
it
though?
It really does.
Crap, 1980. What was going on in 1980? I mean, you were in the smack in the middle of the Rocky franchise, you know, because Rocky 1 and 2 had come out in the 70s and Rocky 3 was waiting to come out in 83.
Mm-hmm. Somebody at this table wasn't born yet.
I was born in 1980.
Oh, were you born in 1980?
Yeah, that's why I mentioned
that. Barely.
So, yeah.
Well, I was 79, so I'm right there.
Right.
But, I mean, you had a lot of great music. You know, Songs from the Big Chair was a great album from Tears for Fears, 1985. I mean, and so you think about it, and I don't know, maybe it's because I grew up in the 80s and the 90s. So when somebody's like, oh, the 80s, and I'm like, hey, it's only 20. Oh, crap, that was 40 years ago.
Exactly.
Like, crud. Like, where'd the time go?
I don't know, but it's one of those things where I'm forced to wonder. I mean, did our parents feel the same way? It's like, when 1980 arrived, were they thinking, oh man, it's amazing that, you know, the 60s were just 20 years ago, but so were the 40s. I mean, what were they thinking? Or when 1990 arrived, were they thinking the same thing about 1970 and 1950? Because a lot of them, my parents were born in the early 50s. So
mine too.
So you
mine
got
too.
All right. So for them, when 1990 arrived, were they thinking, man, this is just like the 70s, which, or like, I remember when I was a kid, like, was the same disconnect there for them? Because this disconnect for us is, it's so real. Because I don't know if everything like in the 80s is cool again. Because you go to the stores, you got the retro classic gaming systems that are all built into the one tiny game machine where you got the Atari and the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo and the Genesis. It's like, maybe it's because it's like right in our face and everything's commercialized. But I don't know.
We can look back nostalgically at the 1980s and think how wonderful it was. But I'll tell you what was not wonderful about the 1980s. Our sense of fashion.
I was going to say clothes.
Our sense of fashion was terrible.
Dude, the tube socks, they go up to the knee with the two colored stripes at the very top.
Dude, we went from socks that went straight up to your knee to no socks.
And doing a tight roll.
Yeah.
In the same
decade.
I wonder what women would chime in with regarding shoulder pads.
You know what?
And the office power suit.
I don't mind the power suits. I don't mind a woman in a business suit, I think, is kind of sexy. I also really like the sweater dresses.
I like sweater dresses. I'm just, yeah, sweater dress. They're great. Remember the little tiny shorts?
Oh, yeah, with the white stripe at the bottom?
Yeah, well, they were outlined in the white stripe.
Right.
And they came, like, I don't know, maybe like
a quarter inch past the boys?
Yes. And so if you know, you stood right, it looked like you were smuggling grapes.
It was difficult to sit anywhere in public.
Oh, yeah, because if one fell out and you went to push him back, the other one would roll out the other side. So, I mean, you're just like, oh. And then the tank tops.
Oh, God.
Remember the tank tops? They had the lining, too, kind of like the shorts, but they weren't necessarily white. They would be a color that would complement. So you had, like, the He-Man tank top and the Transformers. And then, you know, all the girls were wearing the My Little Pony stuff, which now, this day and age, there's a whole culture of men who are
called bronies. Yes.
Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. But, I mean, fashion, we thought it was cool. We thought we were so cool that we couldn't afford the big old brick phones, right? That when they came out, because they were like a couple $1,000s. So you could get a faux cell phone that literally did nothing. You hooked it up the same way you would in a real one, and you would just pick it up and put it up to your ear and drive down the road like you were Mr. Big Shot.
It was in a briefcase. Some of those early phones were in briefcases.
But they actually had car phones.
Yeah.
And so you could get a fake car phone and put in your car and then put the phone up to your ear and drive around like you were on the phone, like you had money to have one of those. And they were only a fraction of the cost. I think they were like $100, which was still expensive in the 80s.
I would have just spot welded my rotary dial phone to the center console.
Might as well. Did you see that video that's been posted recently where somebody found a rotary dial phone, covered it up, and brought two very, we'll say, current teenagers into the room and says, you've got 5 minutes to dial the number seen here, and they didn't know what to do?
That's funny. My kids know what to do. They grew up in a telephone guy's household, though, because we have a rotary dial phone upstairs.
Still, I mean...
That doesn't work anymore, actually.
I got to wonder, though, is it really that difficult to figure out?
No.
It's that...
I thought it was a lot of fun to dial on a rotary dial phone.
It's the same way when somebody forgets to bring their reading glasses with them and you're on the opposite end of a table in a restaurant and you're trying to read the menu, figure out what you want for dinner.
Can you turn that around?
And they're like, hey, can you read this menu for me? And you're on the opposite end of the table and you're trying to figure out what you want for dinner. But because they were lazy and, you know, said, oh, I don't need them, but then they really do need them. It's kind of like that. You're too lazy to play around with. It's not a damn bomb. It's not going to blow up. Just play with
it. All right. Here's where we're going to go, because I'm glad you said something about going to a restaurant and checking out a menu. We just got done with our winter hiatus, which put us through Christmas and New Year's, because everyone's so busy and stuff.
Right.
Over Christmas break, we got together with some friends of ours, and we went bowling. And I bowled really well those games.
Yeah, we did not have a very good week this past week.
Continue. And afterwards, we went to the steak and sushi place out on Transit. I had never been there before. I had no idea what to expect. I was very pleasantly surprised. It was really good because at New York Strip, you cook it on your... They bring it to you mostly raw.
Yeah.
And you cook it on an 800-degree stone right at your table that's on your plate.
Yep.
It was fantastic.
You should sign up for the rewards program because once you spend like a couple hundred, I think it's like $100 or $200 there, you get like $10 or $15 off your next meal. So we eat there enough that we do the reward program.
I'm the only meat eater in my house. That becomes problematic in my house.
They have
place.
Vegetarian
they
stuff.
They do.
I mean, it's completely like you can get the noodles and the
Wendy
veggies.
Wendy had
stuff.
Something. It was rice and broccoli and something. There was a bunch of vegetables in a pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she had. And it was huge. It was like a monster portion.
Did anybody have sushi?
The other people we were with had sushi.
Anybody here? Well, I'm guessing you have never had sushi.
I like fish, but I'm not a... Sushi is...
I eat sushi.
All right. Because I... When a couple years ago, I went with my brother and my cousin. There was this evidently this phenomenal sushi place that my brother frequented when he was in Vegas. So I went out there with them for my cousin's bachelor party. And at one point on some of the downtime, they took me to this great sushi place. That is the only time I've ever had sushi.
I had sake.
Okay.
I can see you at the table now pulling a Tom Cruise. Sake!
Nope. I had no idea that you're supposed to drink it that slow because of how powerful it is. And they give these little cups. I was slamming them back. It was like 95. We were down in Virginia. It was like 95 degrees. I hadn't eaten all day. So I'm slamming back sake. I go, can I get another bottle? They're like, no. But they eventually sold it to me.
I go in there like, you can get a small one for $6 at the one here locally.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring it out warm, and it comes in a thing about this big, and obviously they give you a small cup. I'll kill one of those before my sushi even arrives.
Really?
Perfectly fine. It's not that powerful.
I've never even really tried sushi. I'm not sure whether I'd like it or not.
It's fish. It can be tasty if it's prepared the right way. It just...
It depends on what you get. Like,
yeah.
I like a lot of stuff with smoked salmon in it.
I'm not a big salmon fan. I've had it several times. I can't stomach it, really.
Okay. They have tuna. I mean, you name it, they pretty much have it. Eel, octopus.
I'm from Western New York. We like the bottom dwellers for the extra taste.
Whatever that means.
Catfish.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, to say it was catfish. Like, I grew up eating catfish. I love catfish. It's actually my favorite fish to eat, believe it or not. But
we have the most polluted waters in North America, so, you know, we get the extra taste.
Mm-mm. No. I don't think I'm going to eat anything out of the Great Lakes.
No.
No. Like, I might go over and catch something out of the Finger Lakes or go down to Lake Chautauqua and maybe eat something out of there. But as far as like Erie or Ontario with all the...
Especially Erie.
Yeah, especially Erie with all the power plants and everything around it and all the pollution in the Niagara River that seems to get into the lake and everything. Like, yeah.
In the 70s, Erie was so polluted they thought it was a lost lake. So it's come a long way.
Well, if you really want to be daring, just go a little bit further east and go fishing in Onondaga Lake.
Isn't that where GE was? So like PCPs and all that?
Onondaga from... I read at one point that Onondaga was one of the most polluted lakes in the world, let alone the Northeast.
Wow.
I might be wrong. So if I'm wrong, someone I'm sure will tell us.
So how was everyone's Christmas break?
Busy.
I'm ready for school to start back up tomorrow.
We've had school for 2 days in Lockport. My wife goes back tomorrow. So we had 2 days where we had no kids. It was pretty awesome. Made it a lot. It was really quiet. I had to work, but I don't have to work until almost 11 o'clock. So, and I got a cold over Christmas break, a sinus infection. Sinus infection so bad that even with my headphones on tonight, I still cannot hear out of my right ear, which we did a terrible bowling the other night, I think is my problem with bowling because I have almost no sense of balance right now. I can't justify, things are kind of tilted.
So you're blaming your inner ear problem for bowling?
Yes.
I'm just blaming the fact that I was really bad that night.
I was bad.
Okay.
But I have never, I don't think I've ever bowled as bad as I did the other night. It was bad.
We had bad games. Let's just chalk it up to that.
Yeah.
So, no, Christmas break, winter break, whatever you want to call it, the 2 week break that my kids have had is coming to a joyful end, at least joyful for me.
Yeah.
And with the way, you know, the proximity of my house to my in-laws' house, my son has spent all but one night
at home.
At my in-laws. He had one night at home, and it was Christmas Eve that he spent at home so that he could wake up at the crack of dawn on Christmas Day, get everybody awake.
Are you kidding me?
That's what he did.
My kids, my 10-year-old waited until 8 o'clock.
No, he woke all of us up by around 6:30, and he turned on the Alexa to full blast on Christmas music. I'm like, you know, that was really rude of you.
I would have hit him with my paintball gun.
I would have done...
I didn't say hit him with a paintball.
I'd have just shot him with my airsoft rifle.
Right.
Pow!
And if, so... I mean, I didn't even get a chance to wake up, put on a pot of coffee, get a fire going in the fireplace, which is in the same room with the Christmas tree. Couldn't do any of that. I was just like, this is ridiculous. So I got to sit here and so I got some garbage bags and the kids enjoyed opening up their gifts. My wife enjoyed opening up her gifts.
Now, here's the question for you. You still have little kids. You still have little kids. Mine are a little bit older, so they aren't quite as magical as they used to be. Their littlest one is still magical, but you guys have young kids. How were they Christmas morning? Raina especially, because she's always over the top excited over everything.
She was over the top excited about every little thing she opened. I hope that my 5-year-old grows up with the same sense of joy that she exhibits in everything she does right now.
She absolutely does that. She totally is.
Her personality is so boisterous and so just easygoing and outgoing. And, you know, every so often she'll drop an F-bomb out of nowhere and be like, oh, okay. And it just kind of takes you by surprise. But you
kind of have to reprimand her a little bit, but then you're laughing.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't laugh in front of her.
Mm-mm. No. I like telling people what my uncle has always told us is that, you know, if it's said, that's great. As long as it's said properly in a sentence, we can't get angry. I'm like, okay, I like that rationale. I can live with that. But no, my 5-year-old had a very good Christmas morning. Christmas Day, we go to my in-laws because we have all the stuff from Santa at the house, and then all the stuff from my in-laws and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law for the kids takes place at my in-laws' house. And so Raina was opening something, and it was she and my daughter Tegan have like a pretty decent amount of like American Girl, My Girl, Our Generation, those style dolls. So they had some outfits they were opening. At one point, Raina's opening one that she recognized and knew she had. She goes, oh, thanks anyway. Well, yeah, she's being all sweet about it. And Tegan and my wife are like, Raina, shh, quiet. We'll exchange it. Don't worry about it. But then a couple days ago, Raina's friend came over to the house with her mom. And Raina's like, I got this for Christmas, but you can have it now. I'm like, okay, if she's going to be that giving and have that kind of a heart, you know, I want her to keep that too. You know?
Right.
So, no, bottom line is I think my kids had fun. They got a lot of stuff they wanted, some stuff they probably didn't want but weren't expecting. So it's been, it was okay.
How about your littlest two?
Well,
were they up before 7 o'clock?
They were up at 7.
Okay.
So they got up at 7, and they already knew. We were like, look, here's the deal. We, the adults, were going to get up when we get up. Probably be between 7 and 7:30.
Right.
Then we're all going to make coffee, and we're going to have a, we're going to pour ourselves a cup of coffee. We will come in the living room. At that point, you can cue the Christmas music, and then we will get to opening gifts. They stuck to that. Was like, hey, pretty well-disciplined little bunch here. Now, granted, my youngest, he turns 8 tomorrow. So he's not super young anymore or super little, but he's, he still has that magic of Christmas. You know, right. Ooh, Santa this and Santa that and the reindeer and the elves. I mean, for the love of Pete, we still make reindeer food, you know, which is glitter and, you know, oats and barley mixed together, and you go and throw it out in the yard. So
that's why my yard is sparkling.
Probably. That or you killed a vampire, because real vampires sparkle, apparently, according to some people.
No.
Exactly.
No. Oh, no.
They don't. Now, my other little one, who's 9, she has begun to question things because she's too smart for her own good. So, and I'm like, because it was, I think, 6th grade when we kind of had the talk with our oldest. And because she was still wanting to believe and all this other stuff. And it was like, okay, like, you know, she's talking about it at school. I'm like, somebody's going to stuff her in a locker at some point.
Right.
At some point, you have to say, you know what, here's the way it is. And, of course, she cried for like 5 minutes. And we were like, look, now you get to be in on it with us, with the little ones. So you kind of get to help pick Santa gifts and all this other stuff. So she's, you know, kind of taking up that mantle of helping my wife and I get Santa gifts and things like that. I'm thinking I've got maybe one more year.
That's what we figure.
Maybe one more year with the middle child, which would also, well, and that would be your youngest.
Yeah.
And then I think I probably have maybe another two or maybe three at most with my son. And then there's, I mean, don't get me wrong, it, I don't want to say the magic is gone, but I think every parent loves playing Santa.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and we need to make sure we include a tag saying, look, don't let your kids listen to this one, because we talk about some Christmas stuff that might dispel some magic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Some of the best loved Christmas movies dispel the magic anyway, in their own way.
Now, I have 2 15-year-olds. One of them knew, has known for a couple of years. The other one heard the stories, refused to believe them, and we got busted.
Let me guess, that would be Pepe.
Yeah, so we got busted. The 13-year-old, she says she knows, and she refuses to acknowledge it. She says that the whole Santa Claus thing is the feeling that you get when you see your gifts in that morning, and if it makes people happy, she's quite content to keep going with that.
That's
which is like the perfect answer.
I love that answer. That's,
and
absolutely,
the littlest one is all in Santa Claus, reindeer, and all that stuff.
Yep.
Which is so cool.
I actually felt really, really bad. I think it was like the Friday, the last day of school, that Friday before break started. Raina came home. So, you know, she's in kindergarten. So everything with her is, you know, we just described it. She's so excited about everything. Like, Daddy, look at my folder. Look at this. I got this thing for this, and I got this to do this. And she's just talking like 100 miles a minute. And she takes out this one piece of paper, and it's a note from the classroom elf saying, Dear Raina, you know, you've been good this year. I'll pass along this note to Santa, and you'll be fine. So she says, Daddy, see this note from the elf? So I read it. And what I thought was kind of funny, at least in my mind, was I said, Dear Raina, you will be getting coal in your stocking this year because Santa has seen you be very naughty to your parents, and he may not even show up. And she goes, what? Oh, no. She ran upstairs crying, saying, Santa doesn't like me. I'm like, Raina, come down. I'm going to read the words to you. Let's sound them out together. And then we read the letter together. I'm like, are you okay now? She goes, yes. Well, okay. I felt terrible. I mean, I was having a little bit of, like, I wasn't saying you're not going to get anything. Like, but, yeah, so someone's going to hear that now and go, oh, my God, that's horrible. Like, yeah, whatever.
My mother-in-law once said a couple of years ago, that was more than a couple of years ago, I think I had just gone back to work after being laid off. We had twins. We were pregnant with a third, so money was super tight. And I said something about my mother-in-law saying I was going to get a life-size cutout of her, put it in the front yard as Christmas decoration, call it a nutcracker. And she was not impressed with that. And she says, you know what? Santa's going to give you coal for Christmas. And I'm saying, fine, because gas and electric bill is pretty high. I'll take that coal and heat the house.
There you go. So it's a win-win.
Right.
At the end of the day.
All right. So here's a question that Wendy and I debated the other day, because we think that we are out of the norm, and I'm not sure. And I want any of our listeners who can chime in on this to chime in through our Facebook page or through our Twitter or through an email, which is niagaraswatercooler@gmail.com. When you buy gifts for your spouse, what's the limit that you spend on them?
Honestly, I have no idea. Like, if I just feel like I want to get it for my wife and I can afford it, then I'm going to buy it for it. Now, granted, I'm not going to go make, you know, these super huge purchases, because it's like, you know, I'm not going to go drop $1,000 on a gift for my wife without talking to her, because
right.
obviously the money needs to be spread around instead of just onto one person. So it's like, look, what is the, usually what I'll do is I'll ask my wife, what's my limit total for you? And if she gives me a limit, then I try to work within that boundary.
I had a limit. I was given a limit for the last 5 years or so. And I, this year and last year, and maybe the year before that, I blew past that thing like it was standing still.
If there was a limit for my wife and I, knowing what I got from my wife, I know that she at least met the limit. And I kind of did more and gave multiple things that still met the limit underneath, I guess you could say.
Right.
When it comes down to it, though, I mean, whether there's a limit or not, and I've kind of started feeling this way the last couple of years, it's like, I really don't care what I get, as long as there's some semblance of thought put behind it.
I like the gift that you told me about. I think it's hilarious. It's yeah. like the perfect gift. And then, I don't know if there was another gift that was the more meaningful gift, but that gift right there, that's the one I would have led with and laughed and kind of held off on giving you anything until you thought you weren't getting anything else, and then giving you the other gift. That's what I would have done.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, that was all I got.
Really?
Yeah. I got a wheelbarrow.
Which is funny.
Which is hysterical. If you go back to the show back in around Labor Day, you'll understand why that's funny. It's already been used multiple times because I had a tree that kind of got toppled over in a windstorm we had about a month and a half ago.
Was it the eyesore?
No, this was the one in okay. the front of the house that had become an eyesore. And
is the other eyesore still there?
Yes.
Okay.
And so to go hand in hand with the wheelbarrow, what happened? My in-laws, they got me an electric, because they know how little I know about combustion engines. They got me an electric chainsaw, battery-powered chainsaw. And it cuts very smooth, and I've trimmed everything down from this tree. Now that's all that's left. It's a stump. So in terms of quantity of stuff, I really didn't get a lot this year. But the quality of what I got and the humor behind the main thing, yeah, I think it's funny. I mean, so, I don't know. But like I said, about a week ago, my wife passed the comment that she thinks next year we should just, you know, not get each other anything, because we get each other whatever we want for ourselves throughout the year.
That's kind of where we're at. But the way I look at Christmas presents is this way. Yes, it may be something you want to buy for yourself, but you may double... You may think a couple times about it before you actually do it. So something that you want that you might buy for yourself, but probably won't. Those are the gifts I'm going to get for my wife. And kind of the same way back to me. However, I'm kind of a brat about those things. If I want something, I just go and buy it. Regardless what time of year it is.
I do too, as long as it's like not ungodly expensive. Like if I see a t-shirt I want and it's like on sale for like $7 to $10, I'm like, oh, cool, I'm going to get that. If I see something like $30, depending on what it is, if it's a clothing item, chances are no. If it's a movie or video game that's come out I feel I need to have, maybe I will. But in terms of stuff I like get for myself during the year, there's not a lot.
For the first time in recorded history, I am the only person in the house who did not get a book for Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. Well, my wife got 6 of them.
My wife got 4. I bought all 4 of them.
And the girls each got 3.
Nice. I think it was on this show or somewhere else I mentioned the whole something you want, something you need, something you wear, something you read.
Yep.
And I like trying to follow that mantra, at least in terms for, you know, what I get my wife moving forward. If I keep it like down to 4 things, then I know I'm not going to be breaking the bank on anything.
So we got Madison 4 fairy tale books. And it's a Japanese comic, and of course you read it backwards the way they do over there, and she's already read all 4 because she's such a huge fairy tale fan. But we make regular trips to Barnes and Noble and other bookstores.
Right.
I mean, we're talking like once a quarter. So at least once every 3 months at minimum, we're at B&N. One, because I like Joe Mugg's coffee too. So it's nice to have a coffee and meander around the bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
Because the smell and the ambiance and the atmosphere, it's
a relaxing feeling.
It really is. Except for when you have that one lady who's got the kid who's running around with his hair on fire and, you know, I want this toy and that and the other. But anyway, I love the bookstore, so we always go. So this year, it was a little weird because normally our kids get books for Christmas, and we only had one kid that got books for Christmas this year. So we're going to be taking another trip here soon. Probably next month, I would imagine.
For my lovely bride, I got her a practical gift. Like, she always complains about our bed sheets, but she'll go and buy them only when she thinks that we've worn out the other ones, and just buys whatever she can to get something to tide us over. And then she always complains about the way they feel. So I went and I did research, and I tried to get your wife to help me, and that didn't go anywhere. Because you may have thought I was asking for something different.
No. We were so busy. We thought that we were going to have some downtime over the two-week holiday break. Not a chance. Right. I'm more exhausted now than I was before the break.
I like vacation when it lasts just a couple days. When it's this long, I need a vacation from the vacation when it's over. And I say that
I can't wait till tomorrow, I gotta tell you.
I say that as somebody who's not even employed. It's like, it's ridiculous.
So I got her bed sheets and pillowcases, which you say, well, that kind of sounds like a lame thing, but it fits my criteria. It's something that she wants, might buy for herself, but probably won't. It worked. She loves them. We've had them on the bed for a couple days. They're pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got her some books, and then Santa brought her some of their favorite candy that she likes, and lipstick and chapstick, because she always wears chapstick, always uses chapstick.
My wife asks for the most unusual stuff.
Right.
Like, I want what? A set of steel mixing bowls.
That's a good...
That's an awesome thing to have, by the way.
They are, and yeah. She got them, you know, and then she wanted cookbooks, and I'm like, okay, so I will get you these cookbooks, because within them, the pages are contained recipes, and you can make tasty treats and then feed them to me. You not literally feed them to me, but then I can eat them. And
like grapes while you're getting fanned by the kids.
No. I wish, but that never happens. But, you know, you can make these delicious meals, you know, and then I get to eat them, you know, and then obviously, you know, I do the cleanup and stuff. But
right.
And so cookbooks and metal mixing bowls, and I forget what else she got. But
I've purchased for her before, for Mother's Day this year, actually, I got her a new pan set for the kitchen. So she got a new set of pans. I've purchased a vacuum for her, a shop vac, a...
Hey, go clean the garage now!
a tool kit, because she always complains that she didn't have any tool kits. So I bought her a tool kit, a really nice tool kit, and we always buy ourselves something and wrap it and put it under the tree. So I get her this tool kit, this was last year, and she unwraps her present for herself, and she goes, oh, look, a toolkit. I'm so happy. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So she opens the present next and opens up my toolkit, and I'm like, huh, yeah. So she goes, oh, there's one for the garage and one for the house. So she made the best out of it. So she's got two toolkits, but she's super happy about it. So my big gift for her this year was I got her a day at the spa. She got a full day at the spa.
I don't think
that is a fantastic gift.
I don't think any guy in any committed relationship has ever not gone several years without getting his wife a day at the spa. It's something you have to do at least one point.
I actually just talked to my wife, and I were talking a couple of nights ago, and I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to get you a day where you go in for a mani-pedi. Just go in and get a manicure and a pedicure and relax. Like, I don't even care if it's on a Saturday. I got kids. Don't care.
Right.
Just go do it. You know, and she's like, huh? And I'm like, just go do it. Every now and then, you got to treat yourself, right? Well, this would be me treating you. Go do it. They're kids.
Yeah.
And they're so mine.
My plan is what she's going to do is take her day at the spa, which will probably be on a Saturday, typically the only day she has available. And she bought me one of my all-time favorite computer games for my console, which is Civilization. Civilization just came out on the console.
Sid Meier's?
Yes.
Yeah.
So she got me that for Christmas. That was one of my gifts. That and the cornhole things.
Oh, the boards for...
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, cornhole.
And So my idea is to play the game with the kids or play Minecraft with the kids while she's gone. We'll get dinner and all that stuff set up. What we'll probably do is we'll make dinner by dialing and have it ready because we know she's going to get out of the spa at this time and it'll take her 20 minutes to get home. So I'll have it ready and at the house by the time she gets home. Then we'll have dinner, send the kids to bed. She can have a glass of wine to relax even more. I mean, just kind of make a day of it for her. And it gives me time to spend with the kids because you know how our life is like. It's constantly go, go, go. So it's hard to sit down and spend an afternoon with the kids when this one has to be there and that one has to be there. So that's my plan. That was the plan behind giving her a spa day.
Yeah.
We're talking like the big gift for our spouses at this point is what it sounds like. So am I wrong? I'll chime in with what I did. Yeah. I went a little bit more creative. And I've shown you, I found some of the best pictures of my wife and I that have been taken over the years. And I uploaded them to this website and I was able to create a custom lampshade. And then I created a custom wine bottle label and I made a lamp out of an empty wine bottle. And after making it, I realized I have one picture of us in college, pre-engagement, one picture of us in Iowa, post-engagement, pre-wedding, one picture post-wedding with one kid on the way, one picture post one kid, one picture post two kids, and then the final picture of us with all three kids. So I got one picture. There's six photos at every stage in our live together. I was happy with how it came out. My kids thought it was cool. I was like, that's pretty thoughtful. She said some other things, but she said that was pretty thoughtful. So right now it's kind of sitting in the bedroom, but it works. And I'm like, all right, you know.
And you put a slogan on there, a saying.
I put one saying on it that it was all sappy that said, love like wine gets better with time. And then put our names. And then it said, the slogan on the bottom reads, since it's a light, it says turning each other, or lighting up a room for each other since 2001. And then I did something about the phrase turning on as a little much smaller font that you have to like kind of get closer to read. But I thought it was cool.
It is cool.
There was some thought behind it. Like I said, she also got some books and some clothes and a face mask type of thing. But
now, you're going to think this is crazy. I love buying Christmas gifts for my mother-in-law. It's one of my greatest pleasures at Christmas time. And Christmas is not my favorite time of year. Summertime is my favorite time. Independence Day is my holiday. That's my Christmas time.
Because America.
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 So a couple years ago, she wanted a under-the-counter mounted can opener. And she wanted the chrome one. And she kept telling everybody this. So I can't remember one of the kids, either Wendy's brother or sister, bought that for her. Well, I went and I bought one of those hand crank ones, the you know, the stainless steel one, and I bought a gold hook that she could screw into the bottom of her cupboard so that it was under the counter mounted. And she thought that was, this is so stupid. Let me tell you something. When you go to her house in her kitchen, guess what is mounted and hanging under her cabinet?
The hook.
Yeah, she uses that more often than the electric one.
I believe it.
Then a couple years before that, she was debating on whether to get herself a new car or not. She had a car, when you drove down the road, it sounded like it was falling apart. She drives them until the wheels fall off, literally. So she was hemming and hawing whether she should spend the money on it. So I bought her a broom.
You just like jerking your mother-in-law's chain.
I do. So then this year, Wendy goes, what are you going to do for my mom? I said, I already bought your mom's. I go, you were with me. She goes, what did we buy? My friend Kurt, who we've talked about on our shenanigans show. In fact, our website of the week was his GoFundMe for his cancer treatment. He had a fundraiser down in Newfane, and there were like 130 baskets in this basket raffle. So I bought some tickets. I think we spent $40 on tickets, and I won a whole ton of stuff. I mean, I think we won six baskets, and a lot of them had a lot of stuff in it. So I get up to one of them. And my mother-in-law loves snowmen. So there's this basket. It's got a snowman towel. It's got snowman hot chocolate. It's got a cup, and it's all this Christmas stuff and snowman-y stuff. And so I throw two tickets in there, and Wendy goes, why are you throwing it into that? That's nothing we'll use. And I said, if we get that, that's your mom's Christmas present from me. We want it. So I literally just took and gave her the basket after I won it for Christmas.
It's awesome. Here you go, Mom.
Yep. And you know what? She's enjoyed the joke behind all of them, and she enjoyed the snowman thing. She was like genuinely excited over the snowman thing. And then my wife got her a gift, which is that table right behind you, Bobby. It is a 1921 new home
It's like a sewing
treadle sewing machine where you have to, you know, move your feet. It's got the pedal on the bottom. There's no electricity whatsoever.
Yep. So
she's wanted one forever, and a friend of one of Wendy's family members was going to throw it out. It's in beautiful condition.
It really is in really good condition.
So that's what her Christmas present was. We just had to take it over to the house for her.
I had to buy my wife a new sewing machine because she had a Kenmore, like an old one from the 70s.
Right.
And this thing's still chugging along. And apparently it crapped out after being around for almost 50 years.
Did you take it over to...
You mean 30 years.
Yeah.
Did you take it over to like A&S Sewing or anything?
Well, we are eventually to get it repaired, okay. But we had to finish making Halloween costumes and stuff. And she couldn't do it without a sewing machine. There was just no way. So we went and bought her a Singer. Like, we found a really nice one and it was on sale. And I was like, I'm not passing that bad boy up. It's a Singer. It was like 50% off. Like, okay, put that in my car.
Right.
You know, and so we bought her a Singer.
Can I get the 50-year warranty on that, please?
Exactly. You know, because, I mean, where did you used to go get them before? I mean, you used to go to Sears and get them, but, you know, Sears are almost non-existent now, you know, except for the catalog, but whatever.
I used to love those catalogs, JCPenney and Sears.
Yep.
Yep. All right, so we're 40 minutes into this, and we're going to wrap this up pretty quickly, but before we do, New Year's resolutions. Do you do them? Do you have them? How long do you stick to them?
First off, I don't have them because I don't believe in them. I figure if I want to do something, I'm just going to do it. I don't need a resolution to tell me to do it. I'm a grown man. I can make decisions for myself. You know, I understand, you know, oh, it's a new year, new me. Okay. It's why you're ringing it in drunk and hungover the next day.
The best thing I've seen about resolutions is, I swear, this year I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to eat healthy. And then you drive by a McDonald's 2 for $5 deals going on. It's like, oh. Maybe tomorrow. I'm not that guy, but I have noticed that over the last couple days since New Year's, I have, for whatever reason, either it's because I've just fed up with the state of my house, I'm just making things in my house cleaner. I'm hoping to get to the point where I can, you know, wake up in the morning and be like, all right, I got a space here where I can, you know, get back into working out and lose the ever-expanding spare tire in my belly, you know, and that would be nice.
You got the holiday gut.
I don't even have that, although despite what I just ate. I mean, it's just like, I've made resolutions before. I haven't kept to as many as I'd like.
So, last year was the first time I was successful in sticking to a resolution all year. I said at the beginning of the year that I was going to help more around the house. I mean, I already help a lot around the house, but no matter how much a husband or dad helps around the house, it always seems like that the mom does way more. Always.
It seems that way. Now, right. I'm not saying that it... You know, in fact, but...
I'll say in most cases, you are correct.
Ultimately, is a benefit to everyone because there's less stress when the house is, you know, picked up more. And so all year, I made a concerted effort to do more around the house, and I was pretty successful with it. This year, I have a personal reason for my one resolution. I don't do resolutions like, oh, I'm going to eat better, because I know that if someone says, hey, we're going to Middleborough, I want to go to Ed's, I'm going. I mean,
you still haven't eaten at Ed's, have you?
No, we're going to take them out there.
No, what we'll have to do is, like, next Sunday, I'll have to just come out here that much earlier, and I'll just stop by there on the way out.
We could do that.
I can just bring, you know, a variety.
What does Ed's do?
They have the amazing fingers, man. Okay, chicken fingers.
No blue cheese.
They come with blue cheese. You can just give them to me because they never give me enough.
Okay, that's fine.
Works for me.
All right, so my resolution this year, and you may have heard it already because I was talking to Austin and Becky about it at bowling.
I think so.
With losing George last year, which still hurts me, and having two classmates pass away, and then another one.
I'm interrupting for a second. You were channeling him, though, last night during a chat of the Bills game. You sounded exactly like he did during the Bills game. It was great.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it off. Just tell me how bad they lose.
Yeah, it's like, it's going to overtime. You're kidding me. I don't believe you. No. Oh, wow, what a play. You guys are just playing around. I don't believe you. Like, I'm like, it's like George is channeling Craig. It was perfect.
I'll turn the TV back on. Well, turn it back off.
Exactly. right after the sack that wasn't, you're like, are you kidding me? This is over. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how it's going to end.
So I was telling, I want to spend more time with friends and family. And one of the things I'm doing is, and I've done it, we're on day 5. I have not done it yet today. I'm taking a picture of family or friends every day of the year. One picture. And at the end of the year, I'll have like this narrative of what I've done all year with my friends and family.
I like that. I'd love to be able to write more and sit down and write more so I can contribute.
I would love
more.
That too, Howard.
I know you would. I know you would. Yeah. I don't want to write more necessarily for you, but by writing for me, it will be a benefit to the cooler regarding the stuff I want to write. The story that I'm 10,000 words into, but have kind of stalled out at that point. So
I would like to get more sleep, obviously, because I'm constantly exhausted. Between all the kids' activities, and I know your kids have a lot of activities as well, but
they have that new theater thing, and that woman is a little overzealous.
I told Amanda, I'm like, somebody needs to like hit her with a prop or something, because, and I don't mean to do that literally, but...
Figuratively speaking.
It's figuratively, yes. But we're going to practice, you know, one, maybe 5 days a week. You do realize these children have a life outside of school and this drama club, and they also have other after-school activities that are not part of school.
Plus schoolwork itself.
Plus, I've got a child that's in honors classes. There's always homework. I'm like, I don't know how she's going to do all of this. Anyway, that's for off the show.
Yeah. Right.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm looking at this empty plate in front of me. Just so everybody's aware, before we started the show tonight, I brought the leftover chocolate peanut butter fudge cheesecake that I made for New Year's Eve. And between Bobby and I, we ate the rest of it.
You made that.
I made this.
Yeah.
Yes. And
how's the ho-ho cake coming?
Ho-ho cake will be here next weekend.
Oh, with fingers?
Yeah, we'll do that. Oh. Well, let's plan on that. Let's plan on meeting at 6 o'clock next weekend. I'll bring the ho-ho cake and the chicken fingers and whatever.
It's all going to depend on when the Packers game is.
Or we'll figure it out.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. If we got to meet that much earlier in the day, we meet that much earlier in the day. I really don't care one way or the other. During this past 2 weeks off, for Christmas Eve, I made a peppermint candy cheesecake.
We didn't get any biscotti either, did we?
No, we didn't. I didn't bake any. I ran out of that.
Okay.
And then for New Year's Eve, I made this. So basically, I realized just how long it takes to make a cheesecake. So now when my wife says to me at 9 o'clock on...
Can you make a cheesecake?
No. That's not how she asks. At 9 o'clock on a night before she's responsible for taking in the birthday goodie for whoever's birthday is at the office the next day, and she says, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday at the office tomorrow, and it's my turn to bring in the goodies. Can you whip up a cheesecake for me? Now I know that when she says, can I whip up a cheesecake, all I have to do is let her know, like, hey, listen, if you got anything coming up later this week, give me 24 hours notice. And I can actually do it, because I made two in the past 2 weeks, and... I got compliments galore on both of them. So, of course, between the two, they took, I think, 5 sticks of butter and 8 bricks of cream cheese.
Wow.
But they were tasty.
That sound I heard was your arteries collectively collapsing in on themselves.
It was worth it, man. It was tasty. Was it okay? I'll ask Bobby. Was the cheesecake, did it meet with your approval?
It was good.
Okay.
It's good cheesecake.
Did my gift for you for Christmas meet your approval?
It is delicious.
It's probably gone, right?
No, I still have some.
You're nursing that one.
To savor it.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can make some biscotti between now and next weekend, just to bring it in so that I can share with you guys. Cause
I like my fingers hot.
What flavor sauce do you like?
Hot.
All right, I'll go hot. Why the hell not?
They're not like Duff's, right? Hot.
No, they're good.
Because, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I go into Duff's.
I like hot wings from Duff's too, but the hot fingers at Ponies, they are. They have enough tang when you first eat them to say, okay, there's some really good flavor here. And then the heat kicks in and you're like, okay, it's hot, but I'm not going to sweat to death while I'm eating them.
Good.
I have heard some people say they've changed their recipe a little bit.
I heard that too. The last two times I went, I always said, well, this is different than normal. And then the last time I went, which was right around Thanksgiving time, I'm like, oh, we're back to normal. So it may have gone back. People may have complained.
All right.
I don't know. But it was definitely it was like New Coke. It wasn't terrible.
No.
So it was New Coke. It was not Crystal Coke.
Right.
Okay.
For both of them. Just give me classic Coca-Cola.
Yes, please.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week for the Dads Must Be Crazy. It's been Howie and Bobby, and I'm Craig. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week when we do this all over again. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.